May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text for this morning comes from the gospel reading, including these words. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. This is our text. You may be seated. Dear saints, this morning I want you for a moment to put yourselves in Martha's position. Martha is mentioned here in John 11, then later in John 12. And in the Gospel of Luke, Martha is the one busying herself in the kitchen while Mary is sitting at the Lord's feet listening to his teaching. But consider her here this morning as she comes out to meet Jesus 4 days after the death of her brother. She knows all about Jesus. She has heard him speak. She has seen the miracles that he has done. She considers Jesus her friend. So Martha comes to Jesus. And she doesn't fall down and worship him. There is no small talk. She just walks right up to him, looks him in the face, and begins her conversation by saying, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. On the one hand, these words show great faith, don't they? Jesus could have kept Lazarus from dying. She knows the accounts of Jesus healing the sick. Likely she has even seen it happen. On the other hand, there seems to be just a twinge of rebuke, maybe, or chiding. Just walking right up to Jesus and saying this. Where was Jesus, after all? She had sent word to him. She knew how long that word would take to get there and how long it would take for Jesus to come. Yet he was late, it would seem. Didn't quite get there in time. Perhaps Martha is reflective of our own prayers at times. We know God is powerful and loving, yet sometimes it just doesn't seem like he hears us, doesn't get the message, doesn't understand what we are asking. He seems to delay answering our prayers, seems to make us a little more anxious than we would really like to be as we wait for him. Lord, if you had been here, Martha goes on, but even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Again, a statement with a certain element of faith. Martha rightly identifies the connection between Jesus and the Father. She recognizes Jesus as a righteous man, as a great teacher, as a prophet, as one who is able to do great signs and wonders by the power of God the Father. She trusts that God listens to him. But still, there is something not quite right in her comment. It's as if she is saying, Jesus, you didn't get here on time, and that's on you, but surely God can still do something about this situation if you ask him, right? So Jesus tells her, your brother will rise again. Martha's response is really quite beautiful. She believes in a literal resurrection of the dead. I dare say there are many who claim to be Christians in our day and age who do not understand or do not even believe in the resurrection of the dead. A popular thought is that when you die, you're just in heaven for all eternity as a disembodied spirit or an angel or who knows what. No doubt you've heard, heaven gained another angel. But that's not what Martha believes. She says, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Though the date and the time of her brother's resurrection she does not know, she does know that all the promises of God are trustworthy. Everything that he has promised in the past has come to fruition, and everything that he has promised to do, she knows he will do. So why not the resurrection of the dead? But there is still something missing, a piece missing in Martha's theology, in her understanding of Jesus, still something she doesn't quite have a handle on. She doesn't grasp that the one who created life, the one who grants life, the one that who is in his person, the life of the world, that one is standing right there, right in front of her, in her presence. Wherever Jesus is, there is life. It is true that the Father hears the Son. It is true that the Father grants the prayers of the Son, but the Father and the Son are one. The power of life and death is right there in the person of Christ. He has no need to ask the Father for anything, for the Father has handed over all authority to the Son. Whatever God can do, Jesus can do, because he is God in the flesh, the incarnate Son. And so he tells Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Do you believe this? Is this your faith? Do you look upon the dead body of a loved one, of someone that you know loves Jesus, and say to yourself, "Though that person is dead, yet they will live"? Do you believe this about yourself? That through faith in Christ, your body that will die will never really die? Martha did. "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." May Martha's faith be our faith. Then her younger sister Mary goes out to meet Jesus. And on the surface, she seems to react in very much the same way that Martha did, for she starts out with the same words that Martha spoke. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." But notice the differences. That's all that Mary says. There is no "but." "But even now I know that whatever you ask God." And she says these words after falling on her face, falling down at Jesus' feet. This is an act of worship. Mary's first instinct is to worship Jesus. Though she doesn't know exactly what is about to happen, there is no back and forth, no bantering between the two of them, simply worship and acknowledgement of what is true. Perhaps some of us are more like Martha, believing, but wondering, questioning, doubting, like the father of the demon-possessed boy who said, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Perhaps others of us are more like Mary, being open with the Lord while falling at his feet and just leaving everything up to him, having a childlike faith. But I suspect that most of us are sometimes more like Martha and other times more like Mary. But both of these would receive the same gift. Both of them would receive back their brother. For then comes the miracle. Then comes the evidence, the proof that Jesus is indeed in himself the resurrection and the life. The restoration of the life of Lazarus is accomplished by the word of the Lord. "Lazarus, come out." And he does. The dead hear Jesus. The dead obey. This will be you and me on the day of resurrection. Our Lord will simply call out your name and say, "Come out." This is a great joy, to know that the resurrection unto eternal life For all who believe and call upon the name of the Lord is a reality. It is why we are here gathered as God's people to have our faith renewed and strengthened. And yet there is more to the story. For as we heard from the lips of Jesus, I am the resurrection and the life. Not I will be, but I am. Jesus speaks these words to Martha in the present tense. Jesus is our life now. Jesus is our resurrection now. In the future, yes, but even now. Your dead bodies, corrupted by the sin of Adam and Eve, doomed to the grave by your own sin, have already been enlivened by Jesus because you are already in his presence, clothed with his righteousness. Jesus has given you new life already. Jesus has raised you from the dead. St. Paul writes to the Colossians, "And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses." The life-giving spirit that Ezekiel prophesied to the bones is in you now. You have been raised to life in baptism. You feed on the bread of life in the words of Scripture. To you is administered the medicine of immortality in the body and blood of Jesus from this altar. You have life now because you have Jesus now. Where Jesus is, there is life. In Romans, Paul describes baptism as a death and resurrection. Your eternal destiny has been changed by the death and resurrection of Christ, a death and resurrection in which you now participate, which participation grants you everything, every good thing that God wants to give you: the forgiveness of your sins, peace with God, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, salvation, life eternal. These are your possessions and inheritance now, the full extent of which will be handed over to you at your death, and finally and completely at the resurrection of all flesh, at the resurrection of your body for eternal life. Since Jesus is the resurrection and the life, we come to him. We go to be where he is, in his word throughout the week, in our prayers as we reflect on his word, but most pointedly here in this divine service where he again pours his life into us. The church is alive because Jesus is here. You are alive. This life, this resurrection, God would bring to all people through you, through us, through his church. The world brings death. The world is dead and doesn't even know it. But wherever the church is, wherever the church goes, there is Christ bringing resurrection, bringing life. I am the resurrection and the life, says Jesus. May God grant it for Christ's sake. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.